A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord today. It is so good to see each and every one once again gathered to the house of the Lord. And we do welcome ones that are gathering with us and those that are visiting as well. And we give you that very special welcome indeed. And we do pray that the Lord will bless each one as we're found in his house. I do remember, God willing, this evening at 7 p.m. we'll be back in the church for our evening time of worship. And remember that service, if you can attend, we do encourage you to do so. And as you know, it is our first Sunday, God willing, back in the church for the two services. And in between today, the pews will be cleaned in preparation even for your coming again this evening. We want to make it as safe as possible each and every time that we gather to the Lord's house. And this evening, as we're back in the church, we will be returning as well to our studies in the book of Acts. It's been a good few months now since we were in that book, and certainly I've been looking forward to getting back, and I trust the Lord will bless us as we come back this evening to the book of Acts. Wednesday night at 8 p.m. is our prayer meeting and our Bible study here in the church. I'll be along as well, and I encourage God's people, let's make that effort week by week to come and to study God's word and to pray for the work of the Lord here. Services next Sunday, the normal times at 11:30 and 7 p.m. And do, as we have been saying over the weeks, do spend time in prayer, either in your home before you come or even in the car park just before you come in to the building here, and even look to the Lord for his blessing upon the services week by week. Can we also say that Tuesday the 1st of September there will be a committee meeting and a session meeting at 7:30 here in the church for the members of committee and session. Then, as we highlighted last week, unfortunately this year we've had to cancel our 2-week gospel mission with Dr. McRae, but we will, in the will of the Lord, be having some online meetings the weekend 18th to the 20th of September. We've got an invitation, an advertisement, as it were, drawn up for it. It'll be going on our Facebook page this week, and we do encourage you to share that. Let others know that those meetings will be on the Friday, the Saturday, and the Sunday nights, 18th to the 20th of September. Can we also say, just for the encouragement of the congregation, that we received a gift of £2,000 from a family in England, and we want to just record our appreciation and thanks to their support of the work here in Six Mile Cross. Can we also say that the church here, we've taken a decision with the committee to co-sponsor a radio broadcast week by week on Radio Star. If you've been tuning into Radio Star over the years, our congregation in Clocker Valley have been conducting meetings on there every Wednesday around 3 o'clock, but they've moved to a Sunday slot, and that slot then became available on Wednesdays. And along with a number of other churches, we will be endeavouring to sponsor it week by week, and also to put some messages together, and those will be broadcast then each week. So do pray for that as we go forth and go forward with it. I'll be going over tomorrow to record 4 messages, and God willing, then those messages will be used in the month of September. And then it's under Let the Bible Speak, and then what happens is we record messages, and then there'll also be an advertisement for the local church here as well. So do pray as that venture begins, along with some of our sister congregations, both in the south and in the local area here. And then just one final announcement, can we say, on behalf of the Dungannon congregation, the annual ladies' meeting has been cancelled for 2020. I don't need to say why. You all know the reasons why, unfortunately, so many meetings have been cancelled. But just to make you aware, that meeting, the ladies' conference in September, has been cancelled for this year. The Psalm 126 is our opening praise this morning. Psalm 126, you'll find it on the page 122. When Zion's bondage God turned back, as men that dreamed were we, then filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue with melody. The Psalm 126, page 122, and we'll stand after the introduction, please. Thank you. Let's look to the Lord at this stage as we seek His blessing upon our gathering together. Once again, let us pray. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we bow before Thee around the throne of grace this day with thankfulness and with praise in our hearts. We come, O God, before Thee, confessing that Thou art God, and beside Thee there is none else. We come before Thee confessing that Thy dear Son is our Saviour. He's the one who has washed us from our sin. He is the one who has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. We thank Thee, O God, that through His precious shed blood that we have remission of sins, that through that atoning work upon Calvary and through His death upon that cross, we do rejoice, O God, this day for the reconciliation with Thee. We thank Thee this day that we come upon the grounds of peace. We come upon redemption ground, knowing that we have been redeemed not with corruptible things, such as silver or gold, but we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We come, O God, in this Thy day once again, with thankfulness and with praise in our hearts as we gather to this house, for the opportunity once again to gather with those of like precious faith, to gather to this house, O God, to worship Thee. And it is our prayer that we will worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We do acknowledge, even as we've been singing, Lord, we think of those words of Psalm 126, which draws us to that time in the history of Israel whenever they were released from their captivity in Babylon. That great joy that they had within their hearts, that great melody that was upon their hearts and upon their lips. Oh, we praise Thee when we consider that spiritual captivity that Thou hast released us from. Oh God, we thank Thee that the chains of sin no longer hold us, and each one that is saved has been released by the grace of God and saved forevermore. And Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt bless us and be near us even this day, that Thou wilt, O God, tabernacle and meet with us in this house, that as we have gathered to this place, O God, that Thou wilt meet with us, that Thou wilt accept our praise and our worship this day to Thee, that Thou, O God, wilt even, Lord, draw near to and bless us, and bless in the reading and the preaching of Thy word. May we know, O God, the speaking voice of Thee today. Lord, undertake for each one. Thou knowest every home that is represented. We thank Thee, O God, once again for watching over us another week and for sparing us to this day. We thank Thee, O God, for the health and strength to be here, and for how Thou hast undertaken for each one, for bringing us here in safety, and Lord, for even ordering our footsteps in this way. Lord, we just pray that Thou wilt bless and encourage every heart, that Thou wilt speak to each one in accordance with Thy will, and Lord, that Thou wilt meet each one at the very point of their need. Lord, we think of any that be amongst us that are still unsaved, that have never bowed the knee to the Lord and confessed Him as their Lord and Saviour. O Father, we pray that this will be the day, that Thou wilt bless, O God, that Thou wilt work in their hearts and draw them lovingly unto Thyself. O Lord, remember those in our congregation that will be watching online later on. Lord, we think of them. We pray that Thou will continue to be with them and to bless them, to undertake in their circumstances, O Lord, and to watch over them and keep them safe. Lord, encourage each one and speak on, we pray Thee. We give Thee thanks for this last week and for that help and the ability even, O God, to spread forth the gospel across the internet. We thank Thee for those children's clubs, Lord, both in the morning with our home missionaries and also in the evening here in Six Mile Cross. Lord, we just pray that that word that has been sown, that Thou wilt bless it and use it to the salvation of precious souls. Lord, remember our denomination in these days. We pray for every minister. We think of those on holiday, that Thou wilt watch over them, that Thou wilt refresh them. We think of those, O God, that this day that will be ministering in Thy word, that Thou wilt stand with them, that Thou wilt fill them with Thy Spirit. We think as well of our students. We think, O God, of those that are coming to their end of time in college, and we think of those as well that will just be beginning in September. Lord, watch over and Lord, just work all things out for Thy glory and for their good. Lord, remember as well our licentiate. Remember all of our empty churches. Oh, Father, we pray that in the days that lie ahead, that churches will be filled with men in the pulpit and people in the pews. And Lord, that the gospel will have a free course even in our land once again. We do lament the state of our land, O God. We bring it afresh to Thee. We confess we cannot change it or do anything ourselves to right the wrongs that are in our land. And so, O God, we bring it to the God of revival. We bring it to the King that is upon the throne. And we simply ask, O God, that Thou wilt work. That Thou wilt have all of the honour and the glory. That Thou wilt turn men and women unto Thyself. That Thou wilt save those for whom Christ died. And Lord, that Thou wilt raise up the standard once again. We think of the words of Christ, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Myself. Oh, may that be the reality, even in the days that lie ahead. We will see right across our land men and women, boys and girls, coming to saving faith in Christ. That they will turn their eyes off the world and fix them firmly upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us and bless us this day. And do us good in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The hymn 65 is our second item of worship this morning. The hymn 65, the pages 202. Fairest of all the earth beside, chiefest of all unto thy bride. Fullness divine in thee I see, wonderful man of Calvary. Hymn 65, please. Let's stand once again.
Fairest of all the earth beside,
Bibles in the Psalms, please. And we come today to the Psalm 73. Psalm 73. The last verse of Psalm 72 told us that the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And so you'll notice then that the first psalm after that, the Psalm 73, is entitled A Psalm of Asaph. The Psalm 73, the verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Amen. What a wonderful psalm. Consider the days in which we live and all of the evil. And you consider that to our eyes, so often the wicked are getting stronger. And we wonder at times why. And yet, how important the house of the Lord is. Because it tells us in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Oh, what a blessed place the house of the Lord is. To come away from all of the wickedness of the world, and all of the sadness, the darkness, and even the doubt that can come into a child of God at times, wondering what's going on and why. And then to come into the house of the Lord, and then understood I their end. You go down through those verses and after that, and it's just the eyes, as it were, of Asaph are opened. And he realizes, yes, they can wax strong for a season, but they're on a slippery slope. And for Asaph, As verse 23 tells us, I am continually with thee. He's continually with the Lord. And thou hast holden me by my right hand. It's not him holding the Lord, it's the Lord holding him. He's never going to be let go. In the verse 28, he just says it's good. It's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord. What a blessed way to finish. That Asaph knows who he's with, where he's going. He's with the Lord, who is his portion forever. Trust the Lord to bless even the reading of that psalm and encourage us even through it this morning. Our next hymn is the hymn 505. Hymn 505, I have such a wonderful Savior who helps me wherever I go that I must be telling his goodness that everybody should know. And even that ties into that verse 28 of the psalm where it says that I may declare all thy works. And now we're singing about how we must be telling his goodness that everybody should know. 505, and we'll stand after the introduction, please.
I have such a wonderful Savior who helps me wherever I go that I must be telling his goodness that everybody should know. Everybody should know.
Second reading this morning is back to Luke chapter 2, please. In the Gospel of Luke in the chapter 2. Last week in the morning, we were in this passage looking at godly parents. And then in the evening time, we were in this passage looking at the topic of missing Christ. I want to return to it just one final time this morning. In particular, we're going to focus our attention on the verse 49, being about the Father's business. We'll take the time just to read from the verse 40 again to the end of the chapter, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, the verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee, sorrowing. He said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Amen, and may God bless the reading of his infallible word to every heart. As I said, the topic for this morning is the verse 49 being about the Father's business. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, we come to thee with thy word even open before us. We're thankful, O God, even for those words that we've been singing together this morning that have drawn us afresh to Christ. The fairest of 10,000, the lily of the valley. O God, we rejoice in our Savior. Father, even this day we pray that as we come around thy word even now, that thou wilt even come in the midst of us. We think of that time there in the temple, and how, O God, even around with the teachers and the scholars of that time, yet Christ was in the midst. And may that be the reality today for us, that as we gather around thy word, that Christ will be in the midst, that we will hear his voice, that he will speak to us. Bless us now and do us good. Fill us with thy spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, as we said, we came both in the morning and the evening time to look at the childhood of Jesus Christ. And as we said, there is only this one occasion in the Scriptures that is revealed to us of his childhood between the ages of 2 and 30. There is only this one occasion that we have to consider and to meditate over. We considered together last week the importance of being godly parents, of having that adherence for the word, that adoration for the worship, and that impact that it can have upon our children. We looked at what it means as well to miss Christ, the danger and the disaster that it was, and the despair that it led to for Joseph and for Mary. You know, they came back to Jerusalem. And what's interesting is they found Christ exactly where they had left him. They didn't find him in any other by street. They didn't find him in any other house. They found him exactly where they had left him. The temple. Let me say, if you're here today and you're backslidden, you'll find Christ exactly where you've left him. You left off reading his word, you left off praying, you left off worshiping and serving the Lord. If you're backslidden, you'll find him exactly where you left him. You know, there's not only application in these verses for the backslider. But I see also application for the young person. Here Christ at the age of 12 has surrounded himself with the things of God. Even though he was away from his parents, even though he was away from their watching eye, yet when they looked for their son, they didn't find him in the places of the world or in the things of the world. Young people, let me encourage you, when you're away from your parents, be surrounded by the things of God. I wonder today, when you are away from your parents, can they be confident and comfortable as to where you are and to what you're involved in? And surely there is that lesson for us, where we ought to set our affection and our desires, as it tells us in Colossians 3 and 2, set your things on or your affections upon things above. Young Christian, let me encourage you, strive to ever be in godly company. Whether it be in the school place, seek out godly and Christian friends. Whether it be in the workplace or even in the social circles that you run in, let me encourage you, be found amongst those of like precious faith. Young person today, if you're unsaved, let me encourage you likewise to seek Christian friends. That even through their life and their testimony, that you will see the love of Christ. That you will see their love for Christ and you will be drawn to Christ even through them. You know, Mary and Joseph, they eventually found Christ. And there he was about his father's business. Young and old alike, I wonder, can that be said of us? Can it be said of us today that over this past week, and indeed the week to come, that we have been about and we will be about the Father's business? Even in our workplace, even in our school place, even those that we will come into contact with, will we be about the Father's business in everything that we do and everything that we say? There are 2 points I want to leave with you this morning. I want you to see, firstly, in relation to the Father's business, the place that it was given. The place that it was given. The verse 46, it tells us that it came to pass after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. Sitting in the midst. You know, it certainly is noteworthy the place that Christ was given. For here he was in the temple as a young boy at the age of 12, and yet he's brought into the company of the scholars. He's brought into the company of those doctors, those masters of the Jewish religion, and he's brought into their company, and not only is he brought into their company, but he's brought into the midst of their company. Notice the literal place he's given. You know, the scene that met Joseph and Mary whenever they came, it's unheard of. It's unprecedented. For a young child at the age of 12 to be brought in amongst these gathered scholars and to be allowed not only to join their company, not only to listen to them, but also to ask them questions, and further still to be brought right into the midst. You see, whenever the Jewish scholars, the rabbis, the Sanhedrin, they gathered together, they were brought and they usually sat in a semicircle. And then in the midst would have been the high priest. And yet Christ is the one who sat in the midst. My, this went against everything of Jewish custom and tradition. He should have been kept at the gate. He was only a child. He should have been kept to the outer court. He certainly shouldn't have been welcomed. But you see, this was no ordinary boy, was it? This was a child who was about his father's business. And in being in obedience to his father and coming in the form of the servant, he was honoring his father's will. The Lord Jesus Christ was about his father's business. He was subjecting himself to the law in its entirety. He had made himself of no reputation. He had taken unto himself the form of the servant, the form of man, made under the law. And yet even in that midst, he is honored. Literally, he is set in the midst of all of these scholared men, learned men. And yet the honor that they showed to Christ at the age of 12, he's right there in the midst. I think of the words of 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. It tells us, "Them that honor me, I will honor." And Christ here is honoring his Father. And he in turn then is honored by the temple. He's given the place of honor right there in the midst where every single eye could behold. And every single ear could hear. He's given an audience with these men, and he's also given acceptance by these men. No, brothers and sisters, the Lord always honors those that honor him. He's no man's debtor. Hebrews 6 and verse 10, it tells us, "God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name." Every single thing that you do for the Lord is recorded by the Lord and will be rewarded by the Lord. The literal place he's given. But I also see the spiritual place that he's given. You see, to be about the Father's business has to mean spiritual matters. For Christ to be about the Father's business, for Christ to be about his Father, his Heavenly Father's business, it had to mean spiritual matters. And Christ, as he is here in the temple, he's involved in spiritual discussions. He's both listening and asking questions in turn. I've no doubt in my mind what questions these were. I've no doubt in my mind that all of the questions that the Lord Jesus Christ asked were all in relation to the Old Testament Scriptures. I believe as well it's highly likely in relation to the Feast of the Passover, that which they had just been observing for those days. And he would have been taking them past the historical aspect of the Passover, because remember, they did it every year to remember how the Lord had brought them out of the land of Egypt. How that Passover had first been watched over and observed there in Egypt, when the lamb had been killed and the blood had been sprinkled upon the doorposts. The angel of death had came and passed over every household, every family where the blood was applied. But I believe as the Lord questioned them and talked with them, he would have brought them past the historical, he would have brought them to the spiritual. That the Passover did not simply mean a historical event and did not mean simply a past event to be remembered, but rather there was at that time a future significance. That the killing of the spotless lamb, the shedding of its blood, that it was not simply an action to preserve the Israelites, but rather that it was a picture of the paschal lamb dying for his people upon the cross, to bring his people out of the bondage of sin. Isn't that the connection that the Apostle Paul made? Whenever he writes to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Paul writes and he says, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." And Christ is there in the temple, he's asking questions of these men. Remember, he's God. We noted in our studies in the book of Jonah that when God asks a person a question, it's always a question that will force them to examine themselves, to examine their beliefs. Just like it was when the Lord asked Adam in the garden, when he asked Cain, when he asked Elijah, when he asked Jonah, when he asked Peter, so too these men would have been forced to think. These men, even with that young boy at the age of 12 before them, their minds would have been set to work. As the prophet Haggai wrote in Haggai 1, verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." My friend, that's the reality of the Father's business in relation to individuals. It must involve spiritual matters. If you're about the work of the Lord, if you're about your Heavenly Father's business, it will be spiritual matters. But not only is They're the literal place and the spiritual place. But one final place given was the doctrinal place. In verse 47 it tells us, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. You see, here we have the fulfilling of Old Testament Scripture. Psalm 119, the verses 99 and 100, it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. And surely we can see that in Christ. He had more understanding than all of the scholars. Even those elderly men within the temple that had spent their whole life studying the Torah. And yet Christ, at the age of 12, came into their midst, and every question and answer he gave them confounded them and astonished them. He had more understanding than. He asks them questions. He gives them answers. Those questions and answers, I believe, set forth the doctrinal truth that there is nothing that compares to the gospel of God and the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. You know, my years in Bible college, for two of those years, we studied the cults. And every cult that we studied in that Bible college, every single one of them falls on the doctrine of Christ. The Jehovah's Witness will reduce him to a created being. The Roman Catholic Church reduces him to being under the authority of Mary. The Muslim reduces him to being just another prophet. They take away his office of priest and they take away his office of king. The Mormon reduces Christ to being the offspring of Mary and of God and believe that he was married to both Mary and Martha. Every one of them, they fall on who Christ was. My friend, this morning, understand this. There is not one that even comes close to the biblical teaching of who Jesus Christ was and who Jesus Christ is. There is no sovereign as high and as majestic as the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, verse 16, it tells us, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. There's no king like our king. There's no sacrifice as great or as atoning as that of Christ hanging upon the cross under the wrath of God. Philippians 2, the verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, Cicero in his writings, see, the crucifixion, that capital punishment of crucifixion, the Romans and the Greeks had got it from the barbarians, the end of the known world. They brought it to Greece and they brought it to Rome. And Cicero in his writings, he says, to flog a man is cruel. To murder a man is evil. But to crucify a man defies language. To flog a man is cruel. To kill a man is evil. But to crucify him defies language. There's no sacrifice like that which Christ gave. And even as that verse, Philippians 2 in the verse 8, it says, he became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. The death which defies language. There's no sovereign like our God. There's no salvation like that which Christ gives. Because in Acts 4 and verse 12 it says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Child of God, understand this when we are about our Father's business. There's no religion that will even come close. You're about your Father's business when you're living for Christ, when you're speaking for Christ, when you're identifying with Christ. Understand this, no other religion, it doesn't matter where they are, it doesn't matter how big that religion is, not one of them comes close to the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Not one. Instead of trying to find common ground, that's sadly where religions are going these days. We have Roman Catholics sitting down with Muslims. We have even the Church of England coming in as well. And all of these different ones are gathering together, trying to find common ground. The Lutherans sat down with the Roman Catholic Church way back in the 80s and 90s, coming up with the united view on justification. Let me tell you this, men and women, there is nothing to find common ground with Jesus Christ. He's high and lifted up. To be about our Father's business, we have to understand Christ is above all. And He's keen over all. And even here in the temple at the tender age of 12, the Jewish leaders are there and they cannot understand and they cannot see anything in their religion that even comes close to what Christ is saying. They're astonished. The place that was given. Then secondly and finally, I want you to see the proclamation that He gave. The proclamation that He gave. He says in the verse 49, "How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Now these words in verse 49 are the first recorded words of Christ after His incarnation. As Spurgeon puts it, this proclamation was the announcement of His whole life. There was never anything else upon the mind and upon the heart of Christ than to be about His Father's business. There was never any desire other than to be fulfilling the will and the business of His Father. Surely Psalm 40, the verse 8, can be said by Christ, "I delight to do Thy will, O my God." As every moment of His life, He was serving His Father in heaven. Even in His childhood, remember this, He was a perfect child. Never gave His parents one problem. He honored them. He obeyed them. He was subject unto them, even as the verse 51 tells us. And even in that, we see He's about His Father's business because He's fulfilling the law completely. You look at those words in verse 49, He says, I must be about my Father's business. No, we can speak of the I ams of Christ. He says, I am the good shepherd, I am the door, I am the resurrection and the life. But what about the I musts of Christ? We read here His first words, He said, I must be about my Father's business. Luke 4 in the verse 43, He would say, I must preach the kingdom of God. John 9 in the verse 4, He says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. John 10, 16, He says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. I think as well of the words that He spoke to Nicodemus. John 3:14, He says, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Christ knew why He had been sent. Christ knew why He had come into this world. He came into this world to be about His Father's business. John 3:17, He said, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He would say in Matthew 5:17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And Christ in His earthly life and ministry, in His death upon the cross, He never set aside the Father's business. Never once.
He obeyed his father. He fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures. And we think even as we looked in his dying moments upon the cross, he would not die. And he did not die upon the cross until every part of the Old Testament prophecy in relation to his coming, every single part was fulfilled. Then he died. Because whenever every single part was fulfilled, what did he cry? It is finished. Father, your business that you give me to do, it is finished. Father, the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures, it is finished. Father, the fulfillment of keeping the law perfectly, it is finished. Father, the dying upon the cross and the suffering your wrath for the sins of my people, it is finished. He prayed it, didn't he, even before he went? High priestly prayer, John 17 and 4, he says, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He was heading straight for the cross. His whole life, every word, every action, every thought, my Father's business. Child of God, are we about the Father's business today? Young Christian, older Christian, are you working for the Master? Can you say even over this last week and this week to come, I am about my Father's business? That which He has given me to do in my life, whether it be living for Him, whether it be serving Him, whether it be witnessing for Him, whether it be encouraging others with the gospel and the scriptures, whatever it is that the Lord has given me to do, are you about it? The end of your life, will you be able to say, like Paul, the end of his in 2 Timothy 4 and 6, he said, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Child of God, brethren and sisters, let me encourage you. Be about the Father's business. Christ said in Mark 13, in verse 10, the gospel must first be published among all nations. May we do our part. May we do what we can. Even over the course of the week with the Bible Club, it's interesting because there was one night in particular, the viewing figures just went through the roof. You can see the Lord's hand on it, but from the human aspect of it, it was a night when most people shared it. Most nights, maybe two, three people were sharing and posting it so others could see. There was one night, there were 9 shares, and the views went up to 1,800. It's just a little thing, just pressing share. I'm only learning Facebook. I didn't have it until this lockdown. But simply sharing, just a little thing. And yet the Lord can just use the little. Because remember, little is much when God's in it. And being about the Father's business isn't just preaching, or being a missionary, or a Sunday school teacher, or children's worker, being about the Father's business is just doing what you can all the time. So whether it be just having that godly testimony in the workplace, that you're the trustworthy one in the company, whether it be just living that God-honoring life,
But there's no cursing and swearing, no drinking, no weekend activity where everyone else is going out and you're saying, no, I'm going to the house of the Lord. Whether it be even just simply sharing, inviting. There's a Father's business for us all. There's a work that we all can do. Let me encourage you, child of God, be about it. Give yourself to it. That the Lord will have the honor and the glory in everything that we do and everything that we say. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O God. We thank Thee for the testimony and the person of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O God, that He was without sin. Lord, even in His youthful days, right through to His adult and those years of ministry. Lord, we can look at one who was ever about His Father's business. That could say, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. We thank Thee, O God, for our Saviour. Lord, help us in whatever way we can to serve Him. Help us in whatever way we can to live for Him, to honour Him and to glorify Him even with our lives. Lord, bless each one even now as we separate one from the other. May Thy presence go with us even to our homes. Lord, be with us throughout this day and bless us as we gather again this evening. Lord, gather even others with us as well. Give us the hunger and the desire to be found in Thy house, to be hearing Thy word. O Lord, be unto us all that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.